Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Today, we are tackling three components of the Christian foundation established in Jesus Christ: the blood for remission of sins, the cross for the crucifixion of self, and the name for the power of resurrected life, that as we grow in grace and knowledge, our foundation will be solid. So we invite you to join in the conversation as we discuss standing firm in the blood, the cross, and the name. Well, I'm going to start us off today, Janie, with this idea that we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, where we're told to grow in grace and knowledge. We're told to be diligent in peace, without spot and blameless. And with all the things that are going on in our world today, Christians being killed, persecuted, imprisoned, and this really seems like an impossible task to be in this state of being peaceful and without blame and being able to grow in grace and knowledge. So today you have some key components, three key components of how this is possible for us to live in this manner before the Lord.
Those three words, Sharon, that are so important as our foundation is the word, the blood, and what the blood means, the cross, and what the cross means and how it relates to the blood, and then the name, by which is above all names, the name Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But what does that name do in regards to the cross and the blood? Those are three points that we want to mesh together today.
Okay.
All right.
Where are we going to start?
Well, let's start with where we were born into this world with a sin nature. The Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one."
Okay.
So when you look at the innocence of a baby, it's hard for sometimes us to realize and that they really have a sin nature. Until they're about 9 months or a year, and then you discover, yep, we've got a problem. Okay. So what does the blood do? Why was the blood necessary? Why do we need the blood? We need it because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Okay.
So we stay in our condemned state, and even when we start to recognize we have a need, there's nothing we can do because, Sharon, as we say almost every week, man can't fix man.
Right.
So then we know that the Lord has to do the impossible. So God Almighty said, and now I'm going to use some very simple language, "I will be the sacrifice to give them freedom from the condemnation that sin has been given them." So God Almighty, who is a spirit, and we say we must worship Him in spirit and truth, put clothes on in the life of Jesus Christ. So He came. He gave us an example of how we should normally live. And when I tell people, Jesus Christ lived the normal Christian life, God as man and God as the Son of Man. And a lot of people have a hard time grasping that. "You mean I'm supposed to live the same way Jesus Christ did? That's impossible." Well, if you do it in your own strength, you're right. But if you allow Him to invade you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then He does it through you, but it comes back to Him providing the source, the energy, the life.
Right.
Okay?
Okay, so let me just clarify that I'm following you.
Okay.
So what I hear you saying with the blood, That is really our first step to salvation. So once I am now, I have received the blood for the cleansing of my sin. Now, if I move on to a life with Christ, do I ever need the blood again?
Well, it only had to be paid for once.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament talks about how they had to give sacrifices year after year, looking forward to where the supreme Savior would come.
Right.
And then Hebrews tells us that He sacrificed once for all, and He never has to go back and do it again.
Okay.
Now, there was something you said a little bit earlier. When we're talking about the cornerstones, the blood is vital. But when we're talking about the first step of salvation, there needs to be some conviction. There needs to be an awakening for us to even see the need for the blood.
Okay.
But what we're discussing today is once you have been convicted, once you realize you are in need of something other than what you can produce, and you have cried out, I need you.
Okay.
And you have said, I can't do this without you. It's impossible. And you accept Christ into your heart.
Okay.
Now, a lot of churches, and I'm not here to slam anybody today, but a lot of churches say, well, get saved, walk the aisle, fill out a card, and then we will put you into a position of teaching or doing something so that you can grow. It doesn't kind of work that way, because if you get into a teaching position, you're going to be teaching with only one of three legs that you need. You need a solid foundation.
Right.
And we have the example. And if you don't, it's like the foolish man that built his house upon the sand.
Okay.
The walls come tumbling down.
Okay.
And a lot of people believe that once you're saved, that's it. That's all you need to worry about. You're home free. You can just go serve. But that's where we then need to look at the cross.
Okay.
Now, have we made it clear, Sharon, about a beginning of knowing about why we need the blood?
To cleanse us of our sins.
So when we go to the cross freed us from ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. The cross has to do with the flesh and the natural man. And the position to which the cross brings us is this. Not only have our sins been dealt with, but we as a person have been dealt with because we have been crucified with Christ.
Okay.
And then people will say, well, I wasn't born back then. All right. But Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing, and in all places at all times. And so we are locked into a time capsule. Trinity's not. We realize that what Jesus Christ did for us is described in Romans 6, especially in verses Romans 6, 4 to 6. And we usually have been taught that Jesus Christ is doing one thing. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. But at the same time, He was freeing us from being enslaved to our old ways of wanting self.
Okay.
So we have been... Okay, so let me put it to you this way. If you choose to let your old nature, your old jealous spirit, or your own poor, pitiful pearl attitude... You're making a choice to do that. You don't ever have to go there again. That's what we've been delivered from, according to Romans 6, 6.
Okay.
But most people don't realize that Jesus Christ was taking care of multiple problems on the cross.
Okay.
And that's why we need to study all of the scriptures. But what we're talking about today is talking about making sure that we are no longer under condemnation. Making sure that we can't say the devil made me do it. No, it was my stinking flesh.
Right, right, okay.
Okay. And so we're free from that. So many of our beloved brothers and sisters don't ever get free from that. They spend their whole life cycling, trying to do better. I had a lady the other day just say, as soon as I get my life straightened out with God, I'm coming back to church. And I said, well, I guess I'll never see you again. Okay? But you see, we have to fix it in our own strength. And that's kind of what we've been schooled to do, as that's how we grow in grace and knowledge. No, because we're never going to fix it ourselves. And I have a bone to pick with psychiatry, because we have been programmed to believe that if we educate enough, if we change the environment enough, we can fix all of our problems. It's just that we've been trying to do that for 2,000 years, and we're still probably in as worse shape as what we ever were.
Yeah.
So the world's methods don't work. But let me say something positive about the world's methods. They recognize the bondages because they're living in them. And when you're a prisoner, you recognize you're a prisoner. They don't know how to fix and get out of prison, but they can do some very good diagnostics on why you're in prison. And so people go and pay money for months or years just going around the, I think we'd say going around the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Okay? And the horses go up and down and around, but they never get off the merry-go-round.
So I just need to clarify the difference between the blood and the cross.
The blood is for the purpose of just what it says. It's redeemed us from condemnation.
Okay.
Every child that is born ready for the lake of fire. Now, in innocence, I don't believe that a six-month-old, if it dies,
right.
Okay, but
exactly.
you hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay. So the blood gets us out of condemnation, but we are still filled with the fruit of that condemnation, which are our sins.
Okay.
And the cross delivered us from that prison, that bondage. And Jesus Christ has set us free from that bondage. Do we then have to learn how to walk in that freedom, which is Romans 6? Let me just start at 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So Romans people have already learned, no, you're not in bondage to sin anymore.
Right.
But you still have a problem. So then, do you not know, verse 3, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So on the cross, when Jesus Christ was baptized into death because he was dying, we were right there with him, dying with him.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Sounds like we're on the right road. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, well, then certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wouldn't you say if we're...
Right.
Okay. So then, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, we are no longer slaves of sin. So not only have we got rid of the condemnation that would have put us in the fiery lake,
mm-hmm.
we now no longer have to be a prisoner to the remnants. That's our sins. We no longer have to battle our sins, because he who has died with Christ on the cross, and we're no longer slaves, have been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. knowing this, that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him, and therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it with its lust. Well, that in the Greek has a continuation.
Right.
Okay? But we know dying on the cross was a one-time act as far as getting out of condemnation. But that's why we then have the process of sanctification, so that we no longer have to be under the prison-like effect. We've been released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
If I sin and I choose to get ugly, that's my choice. And I will reap the consequences, because it says, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. So then the blood gets you free from the condemnation. The cross gets you free from the power of the fruit that you had when you were under the condemnation. So there's the root and there's the fruit. There's the sin.
Okay.
That's the root. Your sins are the fruit, and you get released by the cross from the fruit of what the blood did for you from the condemnation.
Okay. So with just those two truths,
mm-hmm.
that gives me a whole new perspective in how to pray, how to walk, in the things that I blame myself for, that I can take back to the Lord, because it's impossible to walk a Christian life within myself. I have to be covered by the blood in the power of the cross, right?
That's right. Because Basically, it is Him doing it through you. And you can always go back to Romans 11:36. All things are by, through, and to Jesus Christ, so that we can be complete. And then here's the little surprise tidbit. Romans 12:1, which if I remember correctly was one of your foundation verses,
mm-hmm.
tells us that we are to deal with our body first. Oh, you're kidding. No, I just want to become mighty in my thinking. And yet, Romans 12:1, I love this verse because it calls us up so short. But it gives us so much freedom.
And it gives us a responsibility.
Yeah, and yet, listen to how Paul's saying this. I beseech you, which is another way of saying, oh, I'm begging you, mm-hmm. turn your light on.
Yeah.
I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies. Oh, the mercy. We all want the mercy. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. By the mercies of God, that you present your spirit. No. That you present your body a living sacrifice, so that you can be wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but now you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and excellent and the perfect will of God. So everybody's trying to go to seminary. Everybody's trying to go to college to get all of this theological knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out, and they still don't know how to do Romans 11:36 and Romans 12:1-2.
Yeah.
So now, seminary trained, they go in with their three-point sermon. And again, I am not knocking seminaries. I am not knocking. What I'm knocking is how the enemy has subtly woven his deception into institutions that are training people to know Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I don't know why this is such a great truth, but I know from 50 years of teaching that many, many pastors do not know how to tell somebody to take the mercies of God and deal with your flesh, because you've been delivered from being in that prison. And you have had the blood that has cleansed you and redeemed you from all unrighteousness, so that you can now deal with your flesh.
And in dealing with that, in walking this way, how does the name come in?
Ah, so glad you asked.
Okay.
How many times have you gone to church and maybe they're going to pray three or four times in the service and they always end it, and with your name we ask that you bless this, or this is in your name, Lord, or let your presence be dominant here, and we praise you and thank you in your name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Okay. A name always has two things, at least two things. It expresses the authority of the person speaking, and it also, a name reveals character.
Okay.
So now we're secure, right? We know there's no more longer any condemnation. That's the blood.
Right.
We are now free from being a prisoner mm-hmm. of self and selfishness.
That's the cross.
That's the cross. We don't say, well, boy, I'm sure glad I know that, and I'm not doing what they're doing.
Okay.
No. Now it's time to get others also set free. You got to put on your helmet of salvation, and you've got to get up the sword of the Lord, which is your only aggressive piece of armor that you have. And then you have to learn, oh, and you talk about learning, how to care enough and cherish one another, not only agape love, making a commitment, but the cherishing the preciousness of who they are in Christ. He chose them. He delivered them. He gave his blood for
right.
them. He set them free. Now we need to recognize it's not doing war with somebody to convince them that your theological position is correct. We need to recognize we're now dealing with unseen forces. We're dealing with powers, principalities. And we need to recognize that according to 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Okay, we're not going to come up face to face with the devil and have a one-on-one sitting over a cup of cappuccino, mm-hmm. all right? We're dealing with unseen powers. And that's why we need to be solid and secure to where the enemy can't come in and attack us, because he can see where we don't have it together, and that's where he'll come in and attack us and put a wedge.
Right.
And then we get depressed, we get overwhelmed, we're ready to give up the fight, we've got burnout, and it's because we're dealing with unseen forces.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all been defeated by the power of Jesus Christ.
And that's a good point, Janie, because as believers, we do find ourselves in these places of despair and discouragement. And rather than giving into that, if we know that we have the name mm-hmm. and what that authority is
mm-hmm.
and that they've been defeated
mm-hmm.
and who's causing all of that,
mm-hmm.
then we can position ourselves under the name in prayer and stand firm without falling into the deception and defeat mm-hmm. of the enemy.
Yes. And then here is going to be our normal response to everything. We're going to have a quiet mind. We're going to have a restful soul. And we're going to have a joyous heart no matter what befalls us, because we understand the blood getting out of condemnation. We understand the cross getting out of our prison of ourselves. And we know that the name has made it possible, because his name is above all names. He's the creator. He's the king. He will reign forever and ever.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.